You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I'm Brad Jackson.
So what are we smoking this week, Brad?
Well, this week we've got the Macanudo Inspirado. This happens to be the red. This is going to support a Ecuadorian Habano Escuro wrapper with Nicaraguan binders and fillers.
Yep, stuff from Ometepe, Nicaragua, all kind of stuff. And it's a box press.
Gorgeous. That's gorgeous countryside, by the way. Take the ship across Lake Nicaragua to the island
Lake
of Ometepe
Titicaca.
And... yeah, see all the volcanoes and stuff. It's pretty wild. I enjoyed that that section of country. But this here, you know, right off the bat, I'm going to, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a full-bodied cigar.
Which is a little weird because I normally don't smoke Macanudos because they kind of have a reputation of being mild to medium cigars,
and that's kind of where I'm leaning is, okay, yeah, there's full body there, but it's not a super, you know, put you on your ass cigar. Hey, Pop Filter's doing its job. That's awesome. As of right now, I mean, the good thing about a Macanudo is you can get, you know, the quote premium cigar at a sub-premium cigar price. And I gotta say, you know, I'm kind of with you on the few Macanudos I've had haven't necessarily been my favorite. Yes, they're smokable, you know.
And occasionally, I can't remember the name of the one. The one has, like, the metal cigar band on it. That one actually was a little bit stronger cigar, but yeah, typically a Macanudos it's why it's such a popular smoke is because it's a mild to medium smoke. So people who aren't, you know, tobacco heads like us that want to smoke this stuff that's like, you know, going to put us in the, you know, down on the couch, you know, it's an easier everyday smoke.
Yeah, like this cigar for me is kind of a little bit of a trip, and you know I may have to kind of backtrack a little bit because it may not necessarily be a bad thing, you know, because you definitely get the touch of pepper. But at the same time, like, there's a lightness behind it. Like, you know, it's
got a lot of flavor, but not a lot of like,
it's
power.
Not very harsh. But it's almost like there's just enough of that, you know, spicy touch to be like, I want more of that, but the cigar tapers off and it's just not there.
And it pairs nicely with some alligator beef jerky from Buffalo Bob's. Not a sponsor.
We'll just throw it out there.
But when you're hunting alligators, you should always call on the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com for all your energy needs. Don't forget to use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order.
Yeah, see, I was going to go a little bit of a different route. Yes, absolutely hunting alligators. I mean, you know, this episode here, we're going to be talking about the Jumanji movies. And, you know, my thing was, when you get sucked into a long evening of board games, literally sucked in.
Yeah, if you spend 26 years in the jungle, you know, some Strike Force can keep you ahead of the monkeys, the hunters, and the alligators that are trying to eat you. So if you're going to get lost in the jungle for that long, you know, I would recommend some of the 750 milliliter bottles, like a whole like backpack full of those. That might get you through for a while.
You better stock up on more than just one. 26 years is a long time.
I could have rationed it out.
There you go. I'm taking 8 doses because I can't take a full dose.
And with that, we'll be back like an extra life. welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games.
I don't know how fun this would be.
You know, board games at least.
Man, like, I don't know. Jumanji was one of those movies, like, you know, it was, like, just seeing, like, the stampedes and stuff like that in the trailers when, you know, the first film was gearing up and everything was just, like, one of those, like, holy shit, it just got real. Like,
yeah, because I remember, like, reading the book when I was in elementary school, because it, you know, the movie is based on a book by Chris Van Allsburg, which was released in 1981. And, you know, it was kind of a cool, you know, concept of you play a board game and the stuff in the, that's happening to your character in the game happens to you in real life and whatnot. And it became a movie in 1995. So we're going to be talking about the original and, like, the recently released Rock remake of it, which not really even a remake. That's one of the things I liked about it, because I freaking hate reboots and remakes. There's a few occasional ones. But this Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle was really a continuation of the story. It might have been, you know, 20 years later or so, or however.
You know, there were...
But it was a continuation of that original story.
Yes, it was the continuation. But then, too, like, I like the fact that not only did they switch it up for, you know, more of the digital age, but then, too, like, you know, so much of the, you know, first film centered around... You know, the manor and, you know, just the little town where, you know, in Welcome to the Jungle, we got, you know, real, hey, you're sucked into the jungle and, you know, here you are, you know, dealing with the elements, you know, outside of the little town or the buildings that you're familiar with.
Yeah. And you know, I think some of the big appeal of that first movie was that crazy jungle life in a small New Hampshire town. I mean, don't expect to see a stampede of elephants and zebras and the one asthmatic rhino that was like in the tail end of the group can't keep up with everybody else.
But, you know, he was definitely mean mug in that car, which I don't know. You know, for me, this almost had the feel of Gremlins. Like, you know, I mean, you got the mischievous monkeys and stuff like that. And it's like, ah, crap, somebody gave him water after midnight.
I think the monkeys are probably the highlight of that first movie. I mean, they were in all the trailers and stuff, and it was, like I said, the...
It's the one game that's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Because you get real-life monkeys.
It's just like that first time you see them out in the real world when, to back it up, directed by Joe Johnson, made for $65 million, made $262 million, and... You know, starring Robin Williams as Alan Parrish and Bonnie Hunt as Sarah Whittle, you know, who were started off as kids back in the 60s playing this game. And of course, Alan as you do in most board games, roll a dice where you're stuck until someone else rolls the next dice.
It's like you must get a 5 or an 8. Crap.
But unfortunately, in this one, he really does get stuck and gets sucked into the jungle of Jumanji. And it scares his partner so bad, she leaves and never rolls another dice. Yeah, so he's stuck there for 26 years until, you know, Judy and Peter find it, played by a young Kristen Dunst and Bradley Pierce. And, you know, they're the first time they, you know, end up rolling a 5. Here comes crazy jungle man, friggin' Robin Williams out of the jungles of Jumanji.
Which, that was such a great character, too, because, you know, when he comes on full Jungle Man, at no point is there a resemblance of Robin Williams there.
Oh, no. Like, like, he scares the shit out of him when he first comes through.
Well, I mean, you know, but, you know, I love the lore and the poetics, you know, of the game. You know, that was probably one of the coolest highlights, you know. It's, you know, they fly and they bite and, you know... You must now run for your life, you know, type thing. So,
yeah, like if you stay put, that would be an error. Yeah, it's not thunder on the right. Yeah, like the game always had some cool
rhymes. Staying put would be a blunder, you know, like
yeah, on the distance, that is not the thunder. Staying put would be a blunder or something. But yeah, and it's kind of, you know, since Robin Williams comes back 26 years later, the impact. His absence on the world, you know, happened because, like I said, his father, he was in a prosperous town. His father owned like a shoe company,
Parrish Shoes.
But when he, he disappears. His dad's pretty much, you know, sinks all his money and time into trying to find his son because pretty much everybody thinks he's been murdered or something.
Which is kind of, you know, that was kind of interesting because, you know, the dad's really kind of a dick, you know. It's you will continue in my legacy and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you're kind of a scrawny little punk that's getting his ass kicked. So I don't really know that I want you to continue my legacy. Like,
yeah, because that was the thing, too, because it's the whole, I guess, point of Jumanji. And you even see that probably even more blatantly in the second movie, is it's supposed to teach you a lesson. It's not just like a game. It's like you have to, you know, for young Alan.
Dude, any game that you're going to get crushed by freaking rhinos and elephants, that's no longer a game. That's called survival.
But, you know, young Alan, and even when grown up Alan comes out of the game, he's still, you know, a scared little boy. I mean, he's still kind of a pussy, you know, even though he's survived the jungle and all this stuff, he's afraid to, you know, play the game, afraid to face the hunter Van Pelt that eventually comes out after him. You know, he failed to learn that lesson that his father was trying to teach you, is when you're scared of something, you have to stand up to it.
Yeah,
but
well,
at the same time, his
father
needed to learn the lesson of he's not, you know, I can't teach him like I'm teaching a soldier or one of my employees in the factory. You know, I've got to, you know, care a little bit more with my
lead more by
lessons.
Example.
Yes,
you know, I think is maybe the premise there. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, to me, you know, it kind of had, you know, a little bit of throwback of, you know, Goonies and, you know, like I said, Gremlins, and yeah, I mean. Outside of the perils, I mean, hell, I might give the dice a roll, you know? I mean,
because so they say, you know, hey, you know, the game says whatever happens will be undone once you make it to the end, but it's trying to make it to the end is going to be the
well, I mean, you know, I would love to see, like, a focus on the box. Like, you know, there should absolutely, you know, most games will be, like, recommended, you know, 2 to 3 players, but, you know, best with 5 or 6. Like, this one just needs to be requirement, don't start till you have at least 4.
Yeah.
Like, there should seriously be a warning label that, like, you might spend 100 years waiting on somebody to roll that dice.
Yeah. Oh. But, yeah, freaking, and even though it's, like, yeah, as old as it is, the CGI wasn't horrible. I mean, it was cartoony enough that, I mean, it looked pretty cool.
Well, like, I mean, I think, you know,
I mean, the monkeys are a little bit, you know, obviously CGI, but they're funny enough that you don't care. Because, like I said, when he meets a grown-up version of his buddy Carl, played by David Alan Grier, who was an inventor of some of the first basketball shoes, apparently, but got fired when Alan ended up, you know, dropping his prototype in a machine. So he ends up becoming a cop, and the fucking monkey steals his patrol car, and, you know, never let a monkey play with a shotgun. It'll blow a hole in your roof and steal your car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a team of monkeys, you know. It took one monkey to work the pedals, the other one to steer. And, I mean,
it's the most intelligent monkeys ever.
I guess they've been watching Planet of the Apes or something, because, yeah, I mean, there were no issues with the mechanics of vehicle operation. Like...
Well, yeah, supernatural monkeys created by a freaking mystical board game. I guess there comes with a learning curve with that. That I love later on when him and Alan are in the car, like, trying to go rescue people, and that you see the like a police motorcycle coming up behind them. And they're like, oh, don't worry, it's just a street cop. He'll back us up. And it pulls up, and it's like 3 monkeys on a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's Trevor. He'll help. No, that's not Trevor, buddy.
Like, one of them's, like, waving a gun. The other one's got the helmet on. It's like... Yes, go ahead and pass these guys.
I don't know. You know, it was... I don't know. See, I looked a little too deeply into this film. Like, you know... like, some of the political aspects of it, like, relating to gun buying and ownership. Like, you know, like, you know, when he goes into the, you know, the freaking hunter, and he's like, you got ammo for this. Nah, dude, that shit was discontinued, like, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah,
because
Alan rolls something that says, you know, he's going to be hunted. So this big game hunter from Jumanji, who's been chasing him through the jungle all this time, apparently, comes into the real world and... now must hunt him down. And it's kind of funny because I'm pretty sure it's the same actor who played his father playing the hunter. So he has to learn to stand up to his dad and, you know, the hunter But yeah, he goes into that gun store with like this ancient elephant gun. And you're like, dude, they hadn't made these in like 100 years. He's like, well, you know, what else you got? He's like, well, you're going to have to like pay a bunch of money and you're going to fill out like all this paperwork and stuff. And we're going to need an ID. And then he just drops a big bag of gold on the counter. And he's like, I'll fill out the paperwork for you. Go ahead and lock the doors.
Yes. And I was like, hmm.
Like, nobody told you you got this here. And he ends up with, like, I don't know, which is funny because it's like, I'm pretty sure it was like a freaking shotgun, but it shoots like rifle bullets.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. It was almost like it was a 12 gauge drum, but like,
yeah, there's like freaking 50 cal bullets coming out of this thing or something. Which is also silenced, and nobody can hear it as easily as trying to snipe Alan from through the woods.
I love the way that suppressors work in Hollywood. Like, you know, that part where, you know, he, you know, runs into his, you know, or no, they're all four together coming back, and, you know, the sheriff has, you know, found his patrol car again, you know, all wrecked and, you know, in a bit of the demise, but he hops along. Like, I mean, that to me felt, you know... I mean, Buford T. Justice would be proud. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's probably the only other sheriff that I can say loved his car as much as, what was the guy's name? Was it?
Carl Bentley.
Yeah, as much as Carl did. So, but, you know, that whole thing where, you know, he's got freaking Robin Williams in handcuffs and, you know, he's standing there at the car and you just see the rounds bouncing off dirt like... You would have heard those shots, like...
Yeah, even with a suppressor, you would have heard something. But they're all like, no, he's like, no, don't worry, I'll go to jail. I'll get this later. He's like, I'm about to get shot if I don't get, like, the hell out of here. So, yeah, let the cop take me for my safety.
I hope this glass is bulletproof.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it was just kind of one of those things that I was like, you know, fast forward, you know, almost 20 years, and it's like, those political seeds were planted a long, long time ago.
And I did like when Peter tried to cheat the game and got punished by turned into like a human-monkey hybrid thing.
Yeah, he's like,
it's such kid's logic where he's like, I tried to win. He's like, did you cheat? No, I just dropped the dice and tried to make it land on a 12. Yeah, that's cheating. Yeah, it's exact kid logic. I think I've heard like the, I'm not cheating, I'm just doing this. Like, no, that is cheating.
Yeah, like, I mean, where's the official rule book? I mean, you know, I mean, does a game just get to make up the rules as it goes?
I think it does.
You know, I would almost like to, you know, see a origin story of Jumanji and like the creation of the game and the... whatever forces go into creating, you know, the ability to be, you know, just, you know, particleized, but in the physical realm, you're unharmed. Like,
yeah, well, they've already announced that the new version, they're doing another sequel with The Rock and everybody.
Of course they are.
So maybe we'll get like a little bit of a backstory on Jumanji at some point. Because it was, and it's kind of a cool thing to... with this new way they're doing it, when we'll get into it in further detail when we start talking about the new movie, is, you know, The Rock and them are playing avatars of the players. So you can change the players, and the actors that are playing, you know, the kids, you know, can adjust their personalities. You know, so it could be a whole new group of players, and then seeing them try to act as different kids. So, like I said, you could do several of these movies and keep changing the kids part of it, and the actors stay in the, you know, the, you in the game actors stay in the same. Kind of a genius genius idea.
And I mean, you know, I mean, these films were, you know, sort of left open ended, I think, for that particular reason.
Oh, but yeah, the freaking monkey kid, I like too when he gets back, because, you know, Alan's like. Kind of, he's like, he makes a lot. He's like, I spent 26 years in the jungle to become my father, because he's like a real dick trying to boss the kids around. Yeah. So he just wants to get this shit over with. And he finally, like, you know, saw him, like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I told you to man up and all this other shit. And, like, you know, he's what's like, wrong, kid?
The kid's like, over there in tears, and he's like, it's that? You know, he whispers, like, I gotta fucking tell.
Because, like, it's been a while since I've seen the original, so I'm like, is he, like, yeah, gotta take a shit or something? And he's like, oh, no, I get in, like, freaking rips it out. So he's like, oh, yeah, it's probably getting a little cramped in there with the
oh, yeah, like,
tail that, stuck in your pants.
That can't be a good feeling.
No. It's like having a, you know, sitting on a cigar.
Whoa. Gonna leave that alone.
Oh, got a turtle head poking out. Oh, no, whoa, it's a tail. Whoa.
Said we were leaving it alone. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, that's like, I love when Robin Williams, when he first comes out as the Jungle Man, looks into the bathroom and he sees a toilet and he's like, oh my God, if I'm at home. It's like, that's the most excited thing. After he, like, you know, tried to find his parents, couldn't find him, you know, he goes and he's like, it's a working toilet. I don't have to wipe my ass with banana leaves. There's toilet paper.
Like, I don't know. Like, for me, I think, you know, one of the cool things was, you know, when the lion makes its appearance and, you know, they get it locked in the bedroom and, like, it instantly does what a cat would do. Let me go and, you know, freaking knead at the bed and I'm just going to, it's mine, claimed.
Yeah. Oh, fucking cats. I had a cat steal a damn cupcake from me last night. Like, freaking got these little mini cupcakes, and I'm, like, trying to unwrap one. Fucking cat just jumps up and, like, snatches it out of my hand, and I'm like, you motherfucker. Cats are evil, man.
They're all assholes.
Yep. You know, dog will sit there and beg, but a cat will just snatch your food and run.
I don't know, depending on the dog and, you know, how, you know, well it's trained, I mean, you know. I've lost a pork chop or two in my day.
Yeah. If you leave food unintended, dog will eat it, but it won't just snatch it out of your hand.
It's like, oh, my bad, you were going to eat that? Like, well, that's why
I was like, I hope you choke on the wrapper.
No, it's just going to cough it up in the middle of the night, and there's going to be a mucusy covered thing like laying in the middle of the bed or somewhere. Or probably beside the bed. You get up in the middle of the night to go pee and step in it like, oh.
Well, so that's why you need a combination of cats and dogs, because the cats will puke everywhere and the dogs just eat it. And you just never notice it was there. it's when a cat pukes on something high that you have a problem because the dogs can't get to it. And you're like, oh, that's gross.
Shenanigan.
Oh. But yeah, and then the effect of the monsoon inside the house with complete with alligators. And, like, so the effects on this movie was, like, really good for, yes, like, 95.
Well, I mean, even going back and rewatching it, I mean, it definitely stood the test of time. I mean, it definitely did so much better than some of the other films we've talked about previously. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, going back and watching it, like, I mean, it was almost just as enjoyable, you know, now, even with the new updated, you know, cinematics and everything that, I mean, but I think that's just a testament to, you know, one, the writing, and two, the acting. I mean, you know, CGI obviously played a bit of, you know, that, but I mean, you know,
definitely when you get to, like,
you're invested in the characters, and, yeah, you know, that character investment, like you said, you know, some of the quirky CGI with the monkeys, like, yes, it's noticeable, but it's fun.
Yeah,
like it doesn't take itself too seriously.
The freaking monkey in the fridge that got left behind. Cody's monkey's like freaking freezing, but yeah, like, you know, but like I said, a lot of that stuff, especially like the plant stuff, looked at least partially practical, and yeah, it was. Like I said it.
I mean, I've seen
did a good job.
That effect did so much better than I've seen some of the poison ivy, like, you know, fake CGI stuff, like of the plant trap that we've seen in video games and stuff around that era. So I mean, you know, absolutely giving props.
And then, you know, of course they finish the game, and, you know, everything that the game has done is
the
undone.
The man gets the girl.
So he shows up as a kid again. Now, what? How messed up with that? Having to, like, reset to 10 years old and live your life again, remembering what you've done for the the first go-around.
Well, I mean, you know, I think this is a, you know, I don't know, you know, wibbly wobbly, like, you know, I definitely had some throwbacks to Doctor Who on that aspect. Like, I'm just like, you know, the Doctor does it. I mean, you know, like, you know, maybe that's what Jumanji is. The freaking Doctor is played with a sonic screwdriver, fucked up a board game.
That could explain everything.
Yes.
And then, you know, I did like, you know, and of course, the new film, you know, Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle, directed by Jake Kasdan, made for $90 million, made $937 million so far, if that number is correct.
You know, I think this one should have just been Jumanji, you know, we're on a rock.
With yeah, because it's one of like the 15 Rock movies coming out this year.
God, he is in so many
films. Of the two, he has another video game movie coming out. He's also playing in Rampage. So it's like, the dude is in everything the next couple months. But I did like the tie-in between, because like I said, when originally I was like, this is just a freaking reboot or whatever. But then once I, you know, actually watched it, I was like, oh, it's still in the same universe, because you know, at the end of the first movie, Alan and Sarah throw the game in the river, and you see it wash up on a beach somewhere. And then 20 years later, like in 96, somebody finds it on a beach and takes it home to his son. He's like, hey, I got your board game. And of course, it's now the 90s, and he's like, who the fuck plays board games anymore? And like kind of tosses it aside and go back to playing freaking whatever the hell he was playing, like early Grand Theft Auto. I don't know. But
you know, probably like Vice City or something. I don't remember what it was.
It was like, you know, but then the you know, the game is like, oh, I've got to, you know, update myself for, you know, for a new generation, kind of like this movie. And it, you know, morphs itself into a freaking
like
game
Atari
cartridge.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like. It's
I mean,
a weird modified Atari.
Which, you know, I thought was cool because, I mean, it's a cartridge, but it isn't like a laser disc or anything like what we have today. I mean, it
was like
you
an old school wired controller cartridge. You know, now the Jumanji Jewel is like a little green LED on the thing or whatnot. But yeah, the kid next day is like, hey, where'd this freaking cartridge come from? Eh, fuck it, I'm going to play it. And it gets, you know, sucked into the game, and much like Alan disappears for 20 years or so, and you know, again, his absence kind of has a effect on the, because that's one thing, his absence, Alan's absence from the first thing, because like I said, his dad, the factory closed up and the town itself kind of died off. You know, it was like, you know, it looked like Detroit and shit when they go through town, half the buildings are closed and whatnot. But then once he comes back, you know, like when they catch back up to the future, like the town's prosperous, you know, he's now running the factory and taking care of all the people in the town. So, and that's kind of way this kid was, you know, everybody thinks his dad's crazy because his son just like disappeared and like the house is all decrepit and shit. And he's like, yeah, get off my lawn, kids. You know, freaking this house will eat you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and hold on a second. Got sidetracked. Dang it.
It's this, you know, it's not just like, you know, this movie had like a group of kids all trying to learn a lesson. You had a young Spencer who is kind of the nerd and kind of scared of everything. His mom's like a freaking hypochondriac, doesn't want him to go outside or do anything where he may get
hardcore
hurt.
Germaphobe, yeah.
Yeah.
Like.
And then you have Bethany Walker, played by Madison Eisman, and Alex Wolff, playing Spencer, who is like the absolute like the Instagram girl now, who's like just completely obsessed with like
social media and
being
popularity.
Being popularity. Then you have
being popularity.
Yeah,
she
whatever.
Is the popularity.
You have the fridge, played by Sean Darius, who's used to be, you know, a friends with Spencer, but he grew up, became a football star, and now he's too cool to hang out with his old buddy, and you know, had rather play sports and get him to do his homework instead of like trying to be smart. Yeah.
You're a nerd and a geek and have no life, so here you go.
Like, yeah, instead of you know, using people instead of like helping people. And then you have Martha Kepley, played by Marion, who is kind of the more traditional, I guess, nerd. She's like, you know, if it doesn't want to play sports, doesn't want to like participate in PE, because unless it furthers her
education
or it's like, what's the point of it all? She has like no friends. She's like completely like, you know, by the rules, I need to do this, this, and this, and there's no time for any fun or whatnot. And of course, you know, kids that need to learn a lesson, Jumanji's there to teach you the hard way.
Yes. Trial by fire, as you know. But, you know, I thought it was kind of cool, you know, the way that the dynamic plays out, where it's like, you know, all right, you got all these kids from all different backgrounds, you know, but yet they all manage to get detention and, you know, everything. So they all end up
very
together.
Breakfast Club. Yeah. Another throwback to the 80s. Yeah, like a breakfast. Yeah, because, you know, of course, Fridge and Spencer get caught cheating. You know, Martha tells off the freaking gym teacher.
Coach, yeah.
And then, of course, the other girl's like freaking FaceTiming in the middle of class. So they all get sent to detention. And their job is cleaning out the school basement where they find this
old cartridge.
Old video game in a box of donation stuff. And they're like, hell yeah, let's hook this up and see if we can screw working. Let's play some games.
That's a hella modified Atari 2600 they had.
Yeah. Even had the like the classic Atari coloring.
Yeah, like, I mean, they, you know, kind of that whole wood grain box feel and everything, which I don't know. I mean, it's like, but I thought it was kind of cool, you know, in this one, because you become, you know, the game, you know, in the first one, you know,
fuck,
you're playing around in, you know, its environment and your town and everything else, where, you know, in the new one, you get sucked in and you're a part of the game's environment at that point. Like, you know.
Yeah, so the.
Like, you are removed from your physical, you know, realm of being, I guess.
Yeah, the, you know, jungle of Jumanji that it, that the game had, board game had played, now you're getting sucked into that world. And then, you know, once they appear in Jumanji, they're playing as the avatars they picked. So young nerdy Spencer becomes super buff Dr. Smolder Bravestone, played by The Rock. And then, of course, you know, burly, like, you know, jock guy becomes freaking, what's his name? Franklin Moose Finbar, zoologist, played by Kevin Hart. And, you know, of course, the hot Instagram social media chick becomes Jack Black, Shelley Osbourne, cartographer, and the nerd girl becomes
Shelley's a dude.
Ruby Roundhouse, played by Karen Gillan.
Which, you know, I mean, the one of the things that, you know, when we first saw the trailers, I was like, you know, I've always been a big Jack Black fan, and, you know, I'm like, man, I haven't seen him in anything as of late. And then, you know, to find out that he's going to be, you know, one of the characters in Jumanji, and I'm like, holy shit, you know, Jack Black and Kevin Hart, like, oh, yeah, all right, like this thing's going to be a riot.
And even The Rock does great comedy.
Yes.
Despite being a badass, he's like also a, you know, good comedic actor. And I like seeing him and Kevin Hart together and stuff, but it's what made it even funnier is they're not playing, like,
I got a backpack.
Yeah, they're not playing a character. They're playing these kids as the character. Yes. So it's like weird, like, you know, playing against personality type. So Spencer has to learn to be the hero and freaking
which I thought it was cool, you know, as they're learning, like, oh yeah, we're in a video game, and in video games you get, you know, special abilities, you know. So as they start pulling up their character sheets, and, you know, it's like Kevin Hart's character is like, you know, weakness, cake. And it's like, cake? How is that a weakness? Like,
and then he finds out.
And it's like, you know, but his other weaknesses are like strength and running. And it's like, what? What kind of character am I? Like,
yeah, he's used to being the athletic guy. Like, now he has to learn to depend on others.
All I do is literally carry stuff for the big guy.
Yeah. Like, he's like, weapons? What was it? Weapons Sherpa? And he's like, I think that means you, like, carry my weapons and stuff.
Look in your backpack. What do you have?
It's like, I've got this boomerang.
But, I mean, you know, to me, that was just awesome. Like, you know, I mean.
And then Rock's, like, his weaknesses is nothing. And this kid's used to having, like, everything be a weakness. Like, life itself is a weakness to this kid. And now he's like, oh, I'm the badass.
It's like, I'm indestructible? Awesome. Like, I could definitely see this being, like, a Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Like.
Exactly. And, you know, the nerd girl is like, all of a sudden she's super hot and also like very athletic, and who's like, you know, I don't have time for adventure and fun. Now I can, like, you know, dance fight and kick people in the face.
Dance fighting? What is that?
But I said, my favorite is Jack Black playing a freaking 16-year-old girl. That is like the greatest like
thing. Oh, dude, that whole scene where he's trying to teach her how to flirt and, you know, stuff like that to distract the guards. And I'm just like, this is freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they get to a point where they have to distract these guards so they can steal, like, an airplane to get to the next level. And Jack Black, as a girl, is trying to teach Karen Gillan how to flirt. And then her flirting is just so freaking painfully awkward. It's hysterical.
Like, I think that was, like, throwbacks to, like, the movie White Chicks. It's like, you know, these two dudes, like, trying to, like, be hot females. And it's just like, really? Like...
I've never talked to boys. I don't know how to take... It's like, oh, just, yeah. Freaking flip your... Yeah, and she's just, like, doing it so
badly. And the walk. The walk. Yeah. Like, I'm just like...
It looks like she's, like, drunk or something. Her trying to do a sexy walk. But then she finally is like, oh, I can't be her. I gotta be me. And, like, the music cuts off. He's like, oh, there's music. Why don't you turn on the music? And then she's like, I know dance fighting. it's kind of like, you're the Matrix. I know kung fu now. And she just kicks the... And they're like, we got to help her. And then go out there and she's like beating the shit. They're like, no, she's good. go back in.
But I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit, you know, a few days ago as we were, you know, deciding on finalizing our ideas for the episode and stuff. And, you know, this was kind of cool because, you know, here... You know, once they, you know, discover that, oh, you've been in this game for 26 years, and the
way
that
they could back it up, because we haven't introduced the other character.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Ev. Yeah, because when they go to pick their characters, there's a character they're unable to pick who is Seaplane, the group's, you know, pilot, played by Nick Jonas. He is the kid that eventually that had got sucked in the 90s,
waiting on somebody else to roll the dice.
Yeah. So he shows up to kind of pull them out at one point after they've kind of, and it's kind of cool cuz they have to learn to depend on each other because they all have certain strength and skills that the game's going to test.
And then he's also been too, stuck they in only this... have well one of the other is they find out they only have 3 lives.
Yeah, it's like just like an old school video game.
And I don't think there's any save points in Jumanji.
No. But yeah, when they introduced his character too, I thought it was cool because the jungle of Jumanji plays so much into like video game stereotypes, and him being from a older generation of gamers, he gets them like right through this deadly booby trap temple thing because there's patterns to it. You know, gamers from that era knew to observe and figure out patterns to the game. So he just blazes through that like no problem, where the others are used to like, you know, modern open world games where stuff's never like the freaking same
really
way
set
twice.
In stone. Yeah, I mean, you don't really have that, you know, locked in sandbox. Like you truly have that, you know, evolving level.
And also from him, he's from a time when solo gaming were a big thing. And nowadays, everything's multiplayer or whatnot. So he really also had to learn to depend on other people and also support other people to get through this this trial.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's the thing. You know, I mean, he went through 2 lives, you know. I can get this point and I can't go no further. Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of cool. You know, I like that whole aspect of things. But, yeah, I mean, just the way that it evolves and the different generations. I mean, you know, growing up as a gamer and everything, I was just like, I totally relate.
That and the other actors in there, freaking Rhys Darby as an NPC, who is just, he's like, and like, even like the other characters they run into who are like old school game NPCs where you have to ask them the right questions because their responses are limited because you're not dealing with a real person. You're dealing with some kind of like program thing. So like, especially, you know, when Karen goes up and starts flirting with those guys and they're just kind of like got limited limited things they can respond with. And same way when they meet I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who, you know, in any game who introduces you to the story and tells you what your goals are.
I am your narrator.
Yeah, like, you know,
which
I don't know. NPC stuff just was kind of amusing to me.
Yeah, when, you know, dude rolls up in the Jeep, I'm like, oh, here we go. It's going to be Jurassic Park.
Hello, Dr. Bravestone.
And it's like, who are you? Hello, Dr. Bravestone.
Like, yeah, just keeps, you're like, oh, he's an NPC. He's only got limited stuff. But yeah, freaking Kevin Hart has been like, where's the top 3 foot of my body?
Or that, or, you know, I think probably one of my favorite scenes is, you know, Jack Black's character when it's like, I gotta pee and I don't know what to do, you know? And it's like...
Oh, and yeah, Spencer and Fridge have to teach her how to pee like a man.
And like,
he's like, you just grip it and let it go. And he's like, and aim, you gotta aim. It's like, and he says like 2 or 3 times, like, what happened to you? Like, why is aiming so important? Is there like an accident here you're not done? He's like, I don't want to talk about it, but aiming is important.
But yeah, like, you know, that whole thing. So they're both out in the woods. And I mean, it's just like being in a restroom with urinals. I mean, the unspoken rule is you just don't look over, you know? I mean.
Yeah, and she's like, turns around and starts talking. He's like, don't look at me. Oh, that's a rule. Yes, you never make eye contact. Oh. And yeah, and even later on when they meet Seaplane, she's all like, ooh. And, you know, she's been the one who's been like, you know, because like I said, everyone has had to learn a lesson. You know, freaking Martha as Ruby had to learn to be brave and, you know, and be a badass. And Fridge had to learn to depend on, you know, or help others, because he ends up getting sacrificed to some rhinos to help further the game. But, you know, she's like so self-obsessed and all about like, you know, her. She had to learn to like, you know, she had to teach Ruby. And then, you know, homeboy whose weakness is mosquitoes living in a jungle gets bit and he's dying. So she gives him CPR and like, and they're like, you're giving him one of your life. She's like, I don't care. She had to learn to be like, you know, self, not think about herself first. But then when she like hugs him afterward and they're like, bro, and he's like, looks down and finally is like, oh, she's
whoa,
got...
Whoa, these things are crazy!
He's like, I've got a boner! Whoa! Oh, yeah, Jack Black playing a 16-year-old girl that looks like Jack Black is freaking hysterical. Kind of reminds me of that that movie, what was it, with the girl from Wedding Crashers and... Rob, what's his name from Saturday Night Live, where they switch, I think it's like the hot girl or something like that.
Yes.
Hot. It kind of reminded me of that movie where freaking Rob Schneider wakes up as a girl and, you know, she wakes up as a dude.
Yeah. I guess everybody's thought about, you know, what would I do for a day? It's like, I would never leave the sanctity of my own house. These things are crazy.
Damn. But that was another thing. I do like some of the little callbacks because when after Seaplane rescues him, he takes him to this sweet freaking treehouse that even has margaritas, and all the kids get drunk for the first time, which was hysterical because they look like adults, but they're not adults. So they're like, wow, this margarita stuff's cool.
Yeah, one guy's like, these are nasty. And, you know, the football player's like, yeah, I'll take 6 more.
And he's like, you're hammered. He's like, why am I hammered? Like, you weigh it like 100 pounds less than you used to. It doesn't take as much alcohol. But you see, like, you know, carved in the tree is like Alan Parrish was here or something like that, which was Robin Williams' character. So apparently in his 26 years of being stuck in the jungle, this is the house that he built. You know, and Seaplane's like, yeah, apparently this is Alan's place. I just live here, you know. Like, I found this place. I don't know who set it up. So I was like, that was kind of cool. Showing like, oh yes, this is definitely in the same universe, and this is where Alan was stuck all that time. He was waiting. And even the main bad guy who is supposed to be a big game hunter who got, you know, kind of obsessed by the Eye of the Jaguar jewel, kind of gave him all these powers and shit, and now he's trying to get it back so he can kind of rule the jungle, you know. It was, his name was like Van Pelt, which was the big game hunter from the first game that was trying to kill Alan. So, they, you know, there's enough of those little, you know, connecting threads to like, all right, this is something
that's
in
familiar.
The same,
you know,
world.
It's not, yeah. Jumanji. the expansion pack.
That was the movie, whatever, was it Zathura or whatever?
Yeah, with... Space Adventure.
Which is pretty much just, it's like the same thing as Jumanji, except it was a fucking sci-fi game instead of a jungle game.
Which I think, you know, it followed the book, you know, or it was more connected to the book than, you know, the actual Jumanji films, but, you know.
Oh, but, and then there was another, like, little small thing when they finally make it to the Jaguar mountain and they've got to put the eye back in the statue, like as the game's kind of closing up, you get this like overhead shot of the entire jungle and you see the paths and stuff, and it's the paths from the board game. Like you see the trails through the jungles and it looks like what was printed on the board game. With like the Jaguar statue being like the centerpiece of the board game, so I thought that was kind of cool. It was like this little split second thing, like, oh shit, there, the board game still exists. It's just the jungle now.
You know, you don't see that. You know, Grand Theft Auto always did a real good job of having like a printed map that came with, you know, the games that gave you the layouts. But yeah, that is one thing that you really don't see too much anymore. Which, I mean, you know, a lot of games have evolved into open world, so it's probably a little more difficult to do that with, but you know, definitely one of those cool little hey. But I mean,
and even when they're, you know, since Jack Black is the cartographer, he's the only one that can read the map, but as they go through, the map changes and it kind of hits them like levels, and so it's like, oh, the map has changed. Now it says this, and it's like, you know, oh, we've leveled up. It's like, you know, very much like an old like video game where like, all right, you've completed this level, here's the next.
And it's kind of like, reminds me of Diablo. Like you start out with like a black dot, but as you explore, yeah, like, you know, everything fills in and stuff. Like, I don't know. Being a gamer, this movie just felt pretty cool. Apparently a lot of other people liked it too. I mean, shit, it'll gross well over $1 billion by the time it's all said and done, I'm sure. That's just crazy. Like, used to be like 500, 600 million, and, you know, now it's like, nah, I gotta make like 40 billion.
Yeah, that's like opening weekend for a Marvel movie now.
Which, I you know, kind of speaking of Marvel movies, I saw a thing earlier where, you know, the pre-sales for Infinity War have like already, you know, grossed more than Black Panther and stuff. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Every theater is going to be filled for like a month.
See, that's the thing. Like, this movie and like the Jaguar statue or whatever, or mountain in the middle of it, and then the big, you know, Panther statue in Black Panther. The whole time I'm like, it's fucking Thundercats, man. Like, we need a live action Thundercats movie.
I mean, we're getting Power Rangers with, you know, the new Pacific Rim movie. So, I mean... You're probably not all that far-fetched.
I mean, they're remaking every like 80s animated thing as a live-action stuff. I mean, we need a Thundercats movie.
Do we, though? Do we?
Yes. Yes, we do. If fucking Rampage can get a movie, damn it, we can get a Lino freaking Panther shit Thundercats movie.
I don't know.
Snarf, motherfucker.
Snarf.
Jack Black as Snarf.
Oh, shit.
I'm calling it now.
I would not be opposed to that. Not in the slightest.
Oh, freaking... Oh, man. I'm falling down a rabbit hole now.
I mean, that's the beauty of podcasting, right? I mean, we can bullshit our way to any rabbit hole that we so choose.
Yep, and, you know, that... Like I said, using the video game mechanics to their advantage too, because, you know, once they finally get to it, they're like, all right, you've got to make the run up the mountain. You know, when you see the elephant, it's time to climb. So he jumps on a motorcycle, starts running, and she goes and finds the jewel, and she's surrounded by snakes because her one weakness is venom, of course. And, you know, but she still has two lives left. So the guy's got her corner. He's like, what are you going to do now? And she's like, yeah, steps on a snake and gets bit, so she dies. So with like when the player resets, they drop from the sky. So she drops from the sky and passes off the freaking diamond to the
and for once, Rock isn't piloting the helicopter.
Yeah, he flew in a helicopter. It's like every movie, he's got to be freaking.
I mean, he repaired the helicopter, but
San Andreas, Jumanji, whatever other two movies he's got coming out this year. There's got to be a
Fast and the Furious. He had a helicopter.
The dude's got a thing for helicopters.
Rock has reprised, you know, his role in every franchise.
His next movie, Airwolf. Rock is Stringfellow Hawk. Jack Black is Dominic Santini.
Yeah, so apparently there is supposed to be an alternate ending to Welcome to the Jungle as well. You know, I saw an interview with, I think it was Jack Black, The Rock, and Nick, and, you know, that they were talking about a third installment, and, you know, who knows? I bet, you know, when we get a full Blu-ray release with extra features and stuff. Yeah.
Because in the end of this one, it was like, because I was like, when they're cleaning up, they find the bowling ball. They're like, who the hell needs a bowling ball or whatever? And sure enough, they're like, they hear the music from the game, like, oh, hell no. They're like squishing it with the bowling ball. So it's kind of like the next version, it's going to morph into a cell phone app. It's going to be a freaking cell phone game for Jumanji 3.
Bowling 3D.
It's Jumanji the app, because like I said, it went from board game to video game. That's the obvious next iteration. It's going to be a fucking app. I'm saying it now. But yeah, they've already announced that there is going to be another sequel, so I'm interested on how the game gets rebuilt or whatever, since they kind of destroyed it pretty thoroughly. But then again, it's a Magic game. It can, if it can change itself from a board game to a video game, it can probably survive this. Like I said, it's going to be a cell phone app. I just know it.
It's a whole new version of the Oculus.
Angry Birds fucking shit.
Oh, that would kind of suck.
Jumanji Angry Birds.
I mean, you know, here we are. You know, I mean, Jumanji putting VR on the map before that was ever even a contemplation in people's minds.
Yeah, it looked way better than any Oculus game. I mean, it was very realistic.
How do they do that? Like, this is like seven-dimensional gaming.
And yeah, eating cake can make you explode, apparently.
Which is just awesome. Like, don't do it. Your weakness is cake. How can cake hurt me? Oh, shit.
Maybe his weakness is like, I can't resist cake. That'd be a weakness to cake. You know, maybe it gives me a little digestion. And then, boom, just explodes. Like, how the fuck does cake make you explode?
You know, something about the milk. And I mean, that's a hell of an irritable bowel.
Yeah. It's extreme indigestion. You're like, oh, went for messy number 7 and I exploded.
I mean, those nights. I've had explosive diarrhea before, but that's a whole new level.
And I like how he's like, because he was the stereotypical dumb jock, and he had to learn how to be the brain. So he's like, you know, rattling off all these like facts and stuff about different jungle animals, and he's the one who like defangs the snake, and you know, he had to learn confidence in his brain because he's just like, I'm just a dumb jock. But, you know, he kind of, oh, no, I can be smart as well. You know, once you take away all my physical abilities, it's like I have to be smart or I have to get sacrificed to the rhinos.
Don't get sacrificed to the rhinos.
Ugh.
But, yeah, I mean, I did like the throwbacks of the stampedes and stuff like that. I would have liked to seen the monkeys, like, reemerge or something, though. Like,
have to fight the monkeys.
In a greater capacity.
You know, that final scene where they're on motorcycle. Having to fight the guys on motorcycles and
yeah, that should have been apes.
Deal like, with the panthers and that. There should have been at least like one of the motorcycles with freaking monkeys on it.
I am the monkey lord.
I did like that like freaking garage too. It's like I've seen a few games. It's like, all right, there's all these different options, but you have to choose the right option. It's kind of like Indiana Jones and having to choose the correct grail. It's like, all right, we got like hot rods, we got motorcycles, we got a freaking balloon, we got helicopters. Like, what do we need? Like, and of course, yeah, it's like you need a Vietnam era fucking Huey because that's what you ride into the jungle. That's what movies have all taught us. That's like the best vehicle for ending up in the jungle.
Well, I mean, I don't think they could do a Black Hawk. That may be the next one. Like, you know, I mean, World of Tanks exploded as far as the mobile app. Like, you know, I mean. The Rock had a tank in Fast and the Furious, so, I mean, you know, what are your speculations? I mean, we know it's going to be an app, but...
We got an Apache. oh no, there's going to be microtransactions. They're like, we can't get past this level. Anybody got any money? We got to buy this upgrade.
Oh, don't worry, guys. These are cosmetics only.
Yeah.
We'll get into that nerd news.
Yeah, I need a new skin to make it through this level. But that's the one thing that's cool about, you know, basing this in video game technology is if we do get a sequel, you can have a whole branch of new kids and The Rock and them kind of stay the same, but having to play a different personality. That's what thing is kind of funny is all them playing against personality. It's like, no, we're not playing this character. We're playing these kids trying to play this character. And it's kind of
or it cool becomes concept. A like absolute, like, you know, massive multiplayer, you know, experience. So like, you know, it takes like hundreds of players or something. Like,
oh yeah, it becomes like freaking World of Jumanji.
Yeah.
Or like the old video game trope of like, oh, player two is the exact same as player one, except a different, so they meet like the player two version of The Rock, who's just got like a little different skin on it. I'm Dr. Smolderstone. Like, no, I'm
I mean, I could definitely see that being a thing. I don't know, man. I mean, I gotta say though, like, I this was done so well that, you know what? Fuck it, bring it on. Like, I would actually anticipate and like have a, you know, a smidgen of excitement for it and be like, hey, I'm actually going to welcome this.
Yeah, because it was a reboot without being a reboot. I mean, it was kind of a loose sequel, but I prefer that where it kind of gives you a little bit of,
I mean, you know,
at least connective tissue to the source material instead of just like starting completely over and then, you know, making it girls instead of guys or whatever fucking way they flipped it. This time they've rebooted it. Like,
yeah.
You know, Magnum P.I. or Ghostbusters or any of these other movies that they're freaking ruining.
Yeah, some stuff just should
get off my lawn.
You filthy animal.
Oh, and with, you know, so any final thoughts here on either Jumanji's?
Well, I mean, you know, as I think back, I mean, to Welcome to the Jungle, like the one thing that this movie, I think, lacked that we've seen so much is soundtrack. And, you know, I mean, you know, the first one, you know, you had the drums and stuff like that. But, you know, I think, you know, Jumanji could be taken to the next level with just some epic badassery, you know. I mean, you know, we've seen, I mean, like we talked about with Thor. Yeah,
this one definitely had more like action,
yes,
oriented than
the action
original.
Was there, but I would have loved to have, you know, freaking seen that backed with, you know, more of a badass, like, in your face soundtrack. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I mean, get some of the old school, you know, either classic rock or fuck, you can't even say classic rock anymore because what I consider metal is now classic rock. Jeez.
Like, yeah. They, you know, if you got a Huey flying through the jungle, you got to be playing some like freaking CCR or yeah, or some other Vietnam rock. I mean, they missed out an opportunity there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just think that, you know, as a, you know, somebody that just loves music and, you know, pretty much an audiophile, like, I mean, that would be right up my alley. Like
Jumanji Guitar Hero. That's the next one. Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, we saw Jack Black in Pick a Destiny. I mean, we know it can be done. Yeah. I mean, this is just a tribute. Like, see, that would have worked. Like, you know, have some fucking Tenacious D in there or some shit.
Oh, exactly. Like, well, this is the musical level. We got to, kind of like, you know, Goonies, they had to learn how to play the piano. They were like, we got to play this guitar to, like, open up this temple or whatever. And the wise guitar master, it's freaking Glass.
Kevin Glass, yeah, yeah. He's up there like,
you must beat me at this guitar duel to open the temple.
Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, that would just be, you know, one of the things that I would think would be.
Okay, now that they moved it to the video game world, there's so many little tropes
and I mean, and that was
and
another
stuff that they can include in a sequel.
That or, you know, I mean, just throw in some, like, retro 8-bit shit, you know, just for shits and giggles. I mean, because you get so many modern games do that. Or, you know, like,
or there's been such a reoccurrence in board game culture. Shit goes back to board games. You get the next one is a bunch of hipster kids. And you're like, we don't play video games. We play board. And it has to convert itself back to a board game. Taking it full circle.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a resurgence in board games. I mean, we play board games.
Yep.
Does that make us hipster now? And we have beards.
Fuck, we might. No, they don't make skinny jeans.
And we drink coffee.
There's definitely no way I'm a hipster. Yeah, but we drink Black Rifle coffee.
I don't know. I don't know.
So any final thoughts on here? This here Macanudo?
You know, it was a bit milder. You know, like I said, this one was just kind of a little bit of a trip because it picks up and it's like, oh yeah, this is going to have, you know, a bit of a kick. And no sooner does that kick in, it tapers off. And I'm like, it just kind of leaves me wanting more. And, you know, some folks are really going to enjoy that. Me, it's, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's kind of subpar, you know, and, you know, something that comes out with, you know, being a full body, you know.
Especially with that, you know, Habano Lajero wrapper, you expect a little more heat to it. And I didn't hate it because, like, I don't normally smoke Macanudos because they are a little too mild for my taste. But even though it's kind of milder than what I'm used to, it had a lot of flavor. So, I mean, I would have liked a little more like strength on the back end, but at least had good flavor.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm kind of torn on this one because, I mean, for me, not my favorite, but there's going to be a lot of folks out there that, you know, this would be right up their alley, especially if you're like, hey, I want to maybe venture into, you know, some fuller body cigars. You know, this may be a great gateway. I mean, you know, and also, too, it's hard to argue at the price point. Like, I mean,
yeah, it's seven-ish, you know, it's like, it's a lot easier to try one at that price versus something that's $15. You're like,
at 15 bucks, I gotta know it's good before
I wanna know what I'm getting into.
And, you know, and we've reviewed so many cigars, you know, in our 87, 88 episodes now. And, you know, I mean, cigars that we did 2 years ago that were, you know, priced at this level are now, you know, 10 bucks plus. Like, I mean,
oh, yeah, like, it's like, especially with all this, the freaking FDA rules causing more, you know, stuff having to, you know, manufacturers having to pay more to get their stuff to market. You know, that, of course, is going to trickle down to the consumer. So, yeah, we're slowly seeing what used to be a cheap everyday smoke, you know, costing a little bit more. And it's like, then you have to judge it. We're like, well,
I liked
this was a good $8 cigar. Is it a good $10 cigar?
Yes.
And, you know, some of them are. Like, a lot of them, I'm like, all right, I'll pay an extra 50 cents for this because I like it. But then again, it may, you know, get to the point where it's no longer a daily smoke. Like, freaking, was it the, I remember when whatchamacallit first came out.
One example I think is the Rocky Patel Edge.
That was like a $5 stick, yes. And now it's like an $8 or $9. And Fuente Anejo, when it first came out, was like a $10-$11 stick. Now it's like $15-$16. Seems like every year it kind of goes up a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, the popularity. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's, you know, people have got to make money and, you know,
get off my lawn.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's just that double-edged sword. You know, for me, like, it was the Aging Room Quattro, and then Cigar Aficionado fucked that all up for me. Like,
oh, we got number one cigar of the year. We're the only person I've seen that get, like, a huge rating and not increase his prices is, like, the AJ Fernandez New World. It's still, like, you know, they came out with other editions of the New World that were, like, a $10 one, but, like, that still, that original box press New World, still a $7 stick, even though it got like cigar of the year. So, like I said, it's, yeah, I mean, if it gets good, you're gonna have to pay more for it. It's like anything else, as soon as it becomes popular, it's gonna become expensive. And with that, I think it's time for a beer. I hear the drums echoing tonight, but she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:35. The moonlight wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melody.
turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And it's time for Beer 30. You know what they have a lot of in the jungle? Wicked weeds. So what are we drinking this week, Brad?
Well, this week we are drinking Hop Cocoa. And this is by Wicked Weed. This is a porter that's brewed with coca nibs. So, you know, the...
Stay away from the yellow pods, they'll eat you.
Yes. you know, this here was designed to be, you know, basically a blast of chocolate with every sip with, you know, a touch of citrus hops with a, you know, malty fill. You know, for me, and, you know, it could just be that the beer needs to come up to temperature, but, you know, I get a subtle hint of chocolate, but it's not, you know, the amount of chocolate that they're talking about. Like, the hops are still coming through, but, you know, even though they're citrusy and a little bit bitter, they fade really quick. Like, it's not like some of the IPAs and stuff where you have that lingering bitterness. So, you know,
it's almost got, like, a dark chocolate bitterness to it, so it's like... A little bit of chocolate, like this, a little bit of a bite to it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of weird. It's almost like the hops hit your taste buds first, but then it mellows out into that chocolate. Like, it's weird, transformational. I mean, they describe it, you know, the taste profile on the website as tart and funky, and... Yeah. It's definitely funky. Like, it's playing tricks with my taste buds.
Hoppy, bitter, fruity, malty, tart, and funky.
Yeah, so this... Which,
you know, Wicked Weed tends to... They do a lot of sour beers and stuff like that, so... It's not as tarty as some of the Wicked Weed stuff I've had. But, yeah, it's got, like, a citrusy bite to it.
Yeah, it's a citrus hop. I mean, it's not just the... overpowering hops of, say, a double IPA or, you know, something to that nature. And like I said, that bitterness just, as quick as it's there, it's gone. And it fades into that malty, chocolatey fruitiness. And I
can't remember those, like,
quite interesting in a porter. I mean,
like, remember those, like, chocolate oranges you can get around Easter time? It's just like, you know, an orange made out of chocolate that has that, like, orange flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a slight hint of... of how this tastes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good. It's just different. You know, when I saw this, I was like, all right, that's, you know, I love porters. I'm a big fan of porters in general. And, you know, this here is just, I don't know, if you took a porter and just hopped it up quite a bit and threw in some chocolate, and there you go. I mean...
I think these are, like, fresh out of the fridge, too. So as they warm up, you know, some of those notes may start coming through. You know, we'll give you an update when we get to Nerd News if it's a flavor changed on us any here.
Yeah, and I, you know, I mean, beer nerd alert, but, I mean, I do keep a, you know, fridge downstairs, and I do keep it quite a bit warmer than, you know, refrigerating food because I have a lot of stouts, a lot of porters, a lot of beers that, you know, you would serve at... you know, 48 to 55 degrees. So I keep my fridge right at about 48, 50, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, you know, not good for storing food, but excellent for a lot of the varieties of beer that I drink. And that's what I wanted to go for.
Yeah, especially when dealing with darker beers like this, it's always good to let it warm up, you know, just a little bit. Yeah.
I do have to say that this beer probably has one of the stickiest laces as far as the glass.
Oh, yeah, I think it was beer, super, like, carbonated when you opened it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean...
And that head does not want to go away very easily.
Just that lacing on the glass, like, that shit's, like, super glued. Like, it doesn't move. Like, But and that was the other thing, is this was very, very carbonated. Like, I mean, just, yeah, I couldn't find the bottle, so I just picked up, you know, a six pack of cans, and as soon as you pop the top, this shit's ready to explode. So, contents under pressure.
Yeah, don't shake it up.
Yeah. May want to wear safety glasses even. I don't know, you know, I mean, our beer goggles.
Yes, beer goggles for your protection. Yeah, if you're a steampunk, just put your steampunk goggles on when you open this to protect you from, you know, air pirates and beer explosions.
Awesome. But, you know, I mean, you know, if I was offered this beer again, I would absolutely, you know, take it. If, you know, I got a friend that's like, hey, man, I really dig porters. I mean, I would definitely slide one of these their way. And, I mean, I got nothing bad to say. It's just, it was very funky.
What are we rating this one on our...
You know, for me, I mean, it doesn't really fit the porter style, in my opinion, you know, per se, because of the hops. I mean, it doesn't drink like a traditional porter, but, I mean, it's just unique enough. I gotta go... I'm gonna say a 4 for me.
Yeah, because with porters, you usually get more of that chocolate, more of that coffee, but this one definitely has that little bit of hops bite, so it's unusual for a porter or a stout, so yeah.
And I mean,
but
just,
it's good. It's just odd.
And I mean, you know, just in the few minutes that, you know, we've talked about this beer, that it's set here, I mean, I can already feel the hops mellowing out and some of that maltiness working its way through. So, I mean, there is definitely going to be a profile change as this comes more to temperature. I wish, you know, there was like a standard, you know. I mean, we see so many times, being homebrewers and everything else, that you get recommended glassware and serving temps and everything for the optimal, you know, experience with certain styles of beer. And I wish that, you know, we had some of that here, because I think warmer is going to be better on this.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, we still got a few more segments to go through, so
mine's maybe, not gonna last.
Maybe we got a couple more cans, so we'll see if it tastes any better or different after we have let it come up to temperature a little bit. So with that, ready to learn some stuff, because it's time for science.
Yes, science.
And it's time for some science.
Make like a sponge, absorb all the knowledge. Just do better.
Under the sea.
Whoa.
You know, I've got some breaking science news here. My fears.
Literally breaking.
Oh, God. Or failure to breaking. Uber self-driving car kills pedestrian in Arizona. It's the first recorded death of a pedestrian getting run over by an automated car. I mean, there was an earlier incident where someone who died behind the wheel of a Tesla that was in self-drive mode. An investigation proved that the driver ignored, like, warnings that, like, hey, you should take the wheel back, and did not go with the Tesla suggestion. But this time, Uber is actually testing. Anyone who's gotten home drunk from a bar or an event is familiar with Uber. Uber's testing self-driving cars in a few markets, and recently, as you know, today, one hit a pedestrian that was trying to cross the street. So far, these cars aren't full. I mean, they're autonomous, but they're all equipped with what they call safety drivers. So there's supposed to be someone there to take over if, you know, things break or whatnot. But and there's, you know, no information on if there's any charges going to be involved. They're saying the person who was crossing the street was crossing not in a crosswalk, just kind of in the middle of the road. So most of these things are kind of programmed to detect crosswalks and stuff like that. But you would think they would also detect random hazards, like people crossing where they shouldn't.
Well, I mean, that may be the reason for, you know, having that backup. I mean, you know, not trying to defend Skynet, but I mean, you know, there has to be, you know, so some sort of a human counterpart or something to, you know, help, you know, prevent the unknown. Now, let's say that, hey, you know, take the wheel and, oh shit, I panic and I swerve and crash into a building and wipe out 50 people. Like, sure. You know, I mean, is the human action or human knee-jerk reaction going to, you know, fare much better than the autonomous, hey, I'm trying to prepare for every situation that could possibly occur, you know?
I mean, there's no indication of whether, like, you know, if this person stepped out right in front of the car or not, because, you know, if...
I mean, I see, you know...
If a person popped out of nowhere, you know, the computer, much like a human, probably did not have time to react to the sudden hazard. But, yeah, there's no indication whether or not the computer saw the person and was like, fuck it, YOLO.
YOLO? What?
I don't know what, you know, homicidal robots think. You know, kill all humans, whatever. Yeah, it's fucking Skynet. Skynet has claimed its first victim.
Yodo, you only die once.
Oh, God.
Yodo.
No, and now we have, you know, most offensive episode of Cigar Nerd. Not to make fun of someone who, you know, someone died in this tragedy, so we probably shouldn't laugh too hard of it, but this is definitely going to set back the cause of self-driving cars. You know, right now, you know, Uber said it's halted its program until, you know, an investigation clears. Not only just
local, I mean, you know,
National whatever Transportation Safety Board is coming to investigate this. This is going to be looked into thoroughly.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, based on the, you know, findings of the, you know, investigation and everything. I mean, you know, yes, accidents happen. That's why they're calling accidents. At the same time, like, people do dumb shit every day, you know, not thinking because they, you know, become less aware of their surroundings. But then, too, like, at some point, people program these vehicles, and are they programmed without flaw? You know, absolutely not, because, hello, humans have did it. So, I mean,
yeah, freaking Alexa's, like, you know, laughing at people and stuff now. So it's, yeah, yeah, technology is always not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely am I, you know, not trying to make light of this tragedy as much as it sounds. But, you know, I mean, I'm just, you know, unfortunately, you know, you just don't know what you don't know, and we'll await the investigation. And, I mean, by all means, you know, like you said, you know, when the toaster starts laughing, we'll just start putting some rounds through said toaster.
Yeah, because I didn't include it in this, because I posted the article, like, a while back on our Facebook page. But yeah, like, now the Alexas are starting to, like, respond unpredictably and just randomly laughing and doing all kind of other weird Skynet-y things. So it's coming, man. Skynet is real. But back from high technology to old technology, you know, one of the things I've, you know, kind of as a kid and being interested in, you know, treasure hunting and all that, the story of finding a message in a bottle has always been intriguing. And recently, the world's oldest message in the bottle has finally been delivered. I mean, I thought U.S. mail was slow, so this thing was found 132 years after it was launched.
Yeah, I used to do that shit as a kid. You know, I'd write, you know, some fucking scribble scrabble and throw it in a bottle and watch it sink. And I probably have several bottles in the bottom of Lake Lanier yet to be recovered.
Yes, this one was found off an Australian beach just north of Perth by a lady named Tonya Allman. And it was, they found this old, cool-looking bottle. I thought, yeah, hey, this would be cool to take home, put on the shelf. But when they opened it up and kind of dumped the sand out of it, they found a little note wrapped up. And when they opened it, it had German writings on it. Turns out it was launched June 12th, 1886, by a German sailor on the Indian Ocean, like about 500 miles from where it actually ended up. And, you know, of course, things like this, you know, could be faked. But in this particular case, the original ship's logs from 1886 still existed in some museum, and they were able to find entries in the logs where, on the date that's on the note, they did launch a bottle as part of a experiment. They were kind of testing ocean currents and expiration. So they were throwing these notes overboard every so often, being like, hey, when you find this, write us back and let us know where you found this so we can kind of track how ocean currents run and whatnot. And Sandra's saying it probably ended up where it ended up about a year after it was launched, but became buried in the sand until recently some storms came through and blew a bunch of sand off the beach and this thing was unburied. And it was in an old Dutch gin bottle from the 1800s too. So it's like,
that's pretty awesome.
Sailors using some gin. Surprising with rum bottles, but yeah, oh well.
Yeah.
That's the whole pirates thing. You figure there'd be rum bottles, but
instead of rum, it was all gin.
Yeah.
Now we got to go back and rewrite pirate history. Oh man, I hope pirates don't convert to gin. Please don't be a thing.
Oh, I hate gin.
Yeah, not a fan. Not at all.
Yeah, the ship name was Paula, and its mission was oceanographic exploration, looking for new trading routes and whatnot.
But that's pretty awesome. Like, I'd like to discover some shit like that.
So what would you put in your message in the bottle? Send more rum?
Yeah, probably. That or...
send nudes. Speaking of video game tropes.
Fuck your couch. Get off my lawn. All right, no, I'd probably do some old Greg shit, you know? I mean, what are you doing in my waters, boy?
You got any Baileys?
And I call this one Baileys.
And as long as we're off the coast of Australia, there was another recent discovery out there. The USS Lexington aircraft carrier has been rediscovered by Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen in the East Austrian or Australian Coral Sea. The ship was lost back on May 4th, 1942 in a huge World War II battle. But one of the reasons it's historically significant, this was like one of the first aircraft carriers ever built. And it was, scuttled during this battle, to prevent it from falling into enemy hands. And it has since been lost to the ages and was, recently rediscovered. And, a video from the bottom of the ocean there, there's still, planes on its decks and guns and whatnot that, remarkably, good condition for being in the ocean for 70 years.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Like, and I mean, this is a pretty significant battle too. I mean, just think, if this, if the Japanese had won, what would that mean for Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah, this was one of the first carrier versus carrier battles too of World War II. And this is that's one thing that's I always liked as a kid is reading through old National Geographics where they would show the underground footage of found ships and planes and whatnot. That stuff was always, I've never been one to actually want to go scuba diving because, being underwater for extended periods of time, just a little sketchy to me. I'm a fat man who had asthma as a kid. I don't want to
I wasn't designed to breathe myself. Water.
No. But I'd like looking at the pictures of it. And speaking of back to new technology, we talked about Elon Musk launching his Tesla into Mars, but now he's bringing Wi-Fi to the moon.
I've got some, quips for this one, just because, yes, it's all great, good, and everything else, but when there's so much famine and shit like that here on Earth, are people really concerned, man, I need Wi-Fi on the moon?
Pissed the moon has a better Wi-Fi signal than my house now. Fucking moon internet's better than boondock internet. It sucks. basically it's kind of setting up infrastructure for future exploration. When Neil Armstrong and them went up, they had freaking did not have much cell service and had a single HD camera that would take a long time to beam stuff back to Earth. So, this is also going to be the first privately funded trip to the moon, made by Nokia telecom company Vodafone in Germany. They're sending two Audi rovers equipped with 4G networks, so they're going to be able to, basically beam stuff back to Earth instantaneously, and like I said, set up Wi-Fi for future exploration.
Yeah.
You gotta check your Facebook, or, check in from the Instagram, the sweet moonshot. Who's gonna be the first moon selfie? That's what I wanna know.
Yeah, that's just gonna be, I don't know, man. Like I said, I just got some quips with it, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I guess before long, we'll move away from Comcast and everything, and we'll have, SpaceNet. Maybe we should go ahead and buy up a bunch of domains, and maybe one day they'll be worth millions.
Well, as we're kind of gearing up, everyone's saying we're eventually going to explore Mars. The moon is a nice close testing facility for if you can bring Wi-Fi to the moon, kind of consider it a practice run for eventual Mars mission.
Yeah, I mean, interesting, but I mean, once again, I feel like there's so much more we could be doing at, home for the betterment of all of us, But, yeah, SpaceNet. Sign me up. What's that going to be, about a mil a month?
Can I just get 4G in Dahlonega?
No, you can't.
Oh, Jesus. Well, yeah.
That's still operated by Windstream. You're fucked.
Yeah. Here's somebody doing something good for humanity and the environment. Lego is now making plant-based Lego pieces. Kind of an experiment. They're experimenting with plastics that are plant-based, made from sugarcane, but it's going to look and feel like any normal Lego brick. So they're trying to kind of alleviate that carbon footprint, not use so much, as they're calling it, sustainably
Bring
sourced.
Bring me a Lego shrubbery.
And since, their first brick, they're not going widespread with the bricks just yet, but, anyone who's put together, especially the ninja ones with the fake trees and vines and whatnot, your plant-based Lego pieces are now going to be made from plant-based materials, which is kind of interesting.
That is pretty cool. I mean, hey, move away from plastics and everything else. And, biodegradable, all natural.
So when you make them out of
edible plants, I'm no longer chewing on hard plastic that hurts my teeth. I'm, essentially having a salad, my Lego brick.
When your kids play with the Legos outside and they lose some in the yard, it just becomes fertilizer.
Maybe it grows into a new Lego.
That'd be cool. Little Lego minifigs coming out of plants.
Can we go to the Lego farm?
That's all I have for you this week. I'm out of knowledge, and we'll see you next time.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted, including those of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast? I need my weekly dose of sci-fi news with movie and TV reviews and commentary.
We intercepted no transmissions! This is a consular ship!
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Sorry, I was indisposed.
I will give it a moment to air out, if you know what I mean.
Who needs the ambassador? I thought I heard someone call out for me. What in the bloody hell did you do to Ramus? Speak up! Which one of those chest buttons calls your supervisor, you imbecile?
Geez, mister. Honestly, he was, like that when we got here. Right, fellas?
Mister, I am an ambassador.
Let me see your identification.
Shut it, Bob. You are as clumsy as you are stupid. Doesn't have to show you your ID.
We don't need to see his identification.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Libsyn.com, and Stitcher Radio. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News. No, yeah, news, no nothing.
Yeah, news.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Psh, better late than never. All right, so to jump into things right now, Avengers Infinity War final trailer has been released, and who did we see? Who did we not see? Does that, you know, kind of set the stage for who won't be returning?
Yeah, we pretty much saw everyone except for Hawkeye and Ant-Man.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen some fan art that, you know, look pretty badass, you know, paying tribute to Hawkeye and, you know. So I'm just kind of wondering, you know, do they get their own, you know, films, you know, later down the road? Or, you know, do we just not, you know?
They're like, no, we're, fuck this. Well, I mean, they, yeah, that's one kind of thing I said when we saw, like, the Ant-Man and Wasp trailer. I was like, there's no really, you know, kind of mention of Infinity War and stuff. So I'm, like, not sure what we're in the time frame all this happens. So he may be off having his own adventure while the regular Avengers are dealing with Thanos. So who knows?
You're not a real Avenger.
Pretty much. You just kind of showed up and helped out Cap.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, this is probably one of, I mean, like we said earlier, you know, I mean, just the pre-sales for tickets have already grossed more than, you know, Black Panther. And I mean, I think this is going to do well over $1 billion at box office. What do yeah. you think?
Oh, absolutely. And everyone's been like, yeah, trying to figure out who dies from from the trailer. They're like, it's somebody's going to have to die. Who's it going to be? Because, you know, even in the trailer, it's like, yeah, there's a scene of Tony all fucked up. There's a scene of Cap going head-to-head with so it's like,
yeah, you almost kind of see like Captain America kind of venture off, you know, on his own path or something. Like, you know, I don't know, you know, but then again, you know, I mean, there was a lot of seriousness with this trailer, but then too, I mean, you know, there toward the end when, you know, Spider-Man meets, you know, Doctor Strange, and, you know, he's like, I'm Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our made-up names. I'm Spider-Man. Like,
yeah, and even the Guardians with Iron Man and Spider-Man. And I mean, it was kind of cool seeing these, you know, heroes that have up until this point been not part of the main universe coming together now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I gotta say, I'm excited. I'm just kind of curious, you know, to see how far or how close they come to, you know, the comic books and what that means for the remainder of the MCU. Like,
I didn't enjoy all the "this is how we take out Thanos" means with freaking John Wick.
Yes,
the Soul Stone is in that dog. Who killed my dog?
Yeah, I've seen some pretty good ones. So. I don't know, man. I guess time will tell. Up next is we got Kristen Wiig is confirmed as Cheetah in Wonder Woman 2. So switching gears over to DC. This was probably... I don't know. You know, I mean, it was...
It's an odd casting choice.
Well, and I mean, it was supposed to be so secretive, yet that kind of just... fell through. I mean, you know, I mean, it's been over the last few weeks, you know, that, you know, this would be flying around. So, I mean, you know, everybody else is kind of with you, you know, it's a lukewarm reception at best, you know.
Kristen Wiig's a great comedic actress. I mean, she does a lot of funny movies, but the role of Cheetah, I mean, it's I'm not seeing her do like action films. it's got to be some kind of like, you know, are they going to make that character sillier, or is it, you know, she gonna actually try to play something a little more serious and, you know, expand her her repertoire? So I don't know, we'll see.
Well, and I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe somebody's seen something there that says, yeah, you know, I mean that's the, you know, the role of a good actress, you know, you kind of, you know, put on the face, you know, for that particular character. And I don't know. I mean, it's definitely out of the box, but...
Yeah, it's a DC movie. It's probably going to suck.
But, well, I mean... I mean, the first Wonder Woman was, you know, hands down, probably one of the best, you know, DC films.
The first Wonder Woman movie was amazing, but Justice League was just okay. I mean, it was better than... Batman v Superman, but then
I mean that's setting the bar pretty low. Like,
so
except for the diehard people that will argue to the death on that, and it's just like I can't take it.
So I mean, maybe I'll probably see it.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, you know, that's always the thing, man. You know, I mean, especially for DC, who, you know, has not necessarily had the, you know, best success with, you know, their films. And, you know, then you've got, you know, the freaking gem that Wonder Woman was. I mean, that's setting the bar really high. Like,
and then Justice League came out and it was like, oh no, bar's going back low.
Sorry guys, that was just a glimpse in the Matrix, you know. I mean,
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But you know, on the TV side of DC, you know,
I mean, they're still kicking ass, yeah. Absolutely.
And I've heard today they announced that Constantine is going to be a series regular on Legends of Tomorrow next season, if it gets picked up for another season, which probably will. Everything else is still motoring right along on that network. So, yeah, I mean, he had like a guest episode this season, which was pretty badass. So I'm like, hell yeah, bring Constantine back full time. It'll be pretty sweet.
Hell yeah. Well, Steven Spielberg's got a little film coming out here really soon. Little film called Ready Player One.
Small, independent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, probably something that isn't even on a majority of people's radars. Not at all. Couldn't be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Releases on my birthday.
Yeah, that'll be a good birthday present.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, you know, Steven Spielberg has confirmed that he has plans to begin filming the fifth Indiana Jones film in April of 2019. I don't know, man. I mean, you know, apparently this is going to be filmed in the United Kingdom.
This is Harrison Ford trying to close out all his old, like, characters. I mean, they killed off Han Solo. You know, he came back and did another Blade Runner. Now it's time to retire Indiana Jones. This is like the freaking Harrison Ford's farewell tour. He's going around playing all the hits one last time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, Harrison Ford is up there in age. I mean, I just don't know. Do they replace Harrison Ford?
Guess what? I mean, do they hard reboot it? But then again, it's like, some things are sacred, or at least, you know, they are to most fans. So it's like, you know, is that something that you could see? I mean, they're doing the young Solo movie that's coming out here in the next couple months, you know, where they've cast a new Han Solo. So do they do the same and go back and do a younger Indiana Jones and, you know, call in a Chris Pratt or somebody like that to, you know, freaking take up the whip and the fedora?
Well, unfortunately, not. Because Steven Spielberg basically come out and said that there's only going to ever be one actor playing Indiana Jones, and that's Harrison Ford. So, sorry. So, it looks like we're going to get a 75-year-old Harrison Ford, you know, playing Indiana Jones. I just don't know. I'm with you, man. You know, certain things are just kind of sacred, and, you know,
they introduced the character of his son in the last movie. You know, even though that actor is kind of a nut job and they may want to recast that, they could kind of jump this forward where now Indy's son is Indy's age and he's kind of playing the Sean Connery from from Holy Grail. You know, he's like the old archaeologist teaching the new guy the ropes and kind of progress from there. But yeah, I don't see, yeah, 75-year-old man, there's not, how much action can he get into?
I don't know, man. I've seen Stan Lee pull some pretty badass cameos. And he's got 20 years on him. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows?
We'll see. Chuck Norris is still a badass.
Well, speaking of badasses, not really. This is kind of moving away to a new spectrum altogether. But, I mean, we just celebrated St. Patrick's Day, and what's St. Patrick's Day without some leprechauns? And Sci-Fi has announced that Leprechaun returns, and they have released a teaser trailer.
Oh, God.
And it's every bit as quirky and everything as you would anticipate Leprechaun being.
Leprechaun in the Hood, too.
Yes.
Back to the Hood. Oh. Didn't they even do Leprechaun in Space at one point? I mean, this series got super ridiculous toward the end.
Well, I mean,
but it was always fun. It was dumb, but it was fun to watch.
And I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, you know, it's always been silly and everything else. Well, apparently this is going to be set 25 years after the events of the original 1993 movie. And yeah, basically, you know, the leprechaun is accidentally revived in a modern world and at the hands of unwitting sorority girls.
Yep, that sounds like the perfect.
So,
oh God. Yep, that sounds like a leprechaun sequel.
Yeah, so this is, you know, it looks like this will debut in March of 2019. So, I mean, something to look forward to.
Oh, speaking of old things. Next, was it the 29th? I quit watching Supernatural like maybe two seasons ago. I just kind of got burned out of it. But I may have to turn it back on for one more episode because they're doing the Scooby-Doo Supernatural crossover on the 29th.
Hell yes.
That one may have to end up on my DVR list.
Absolutely. Well, something that hasn't been on my DVR list for quite a while is a little show called Rick and Morty. Captured fans.
Big ol' Rick!
Yeah. Anyway, well, as we know, Dan Harmon has confirmed that Rick and Morty has still not been renewed for a season 4. That has a lot of people speculating that there will be no season 4. I don't know. Adult Swim, for some reason, really likes to do this, you know, where they have a successful show, and for whatever reason, they just let it go the way of the dodos.
Yeah.
Or they wait till the extreme last minute, and it's like, get all your material and all your shit written, and do it hastily, and...
Yeah, because, you know, Metalocalypse never got, like, a real ending, and you know, they kind of do something and get super popular, and then they're just like, yeah, let's go do something else. Just makes no sense, like... Milk the cow till it's dry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that cow definitely wasn't dry. I mean, you know.
Then again, they were recently in a music video for what, I forgot what band. So maybe this is the new thing. Rick and Morty just kind of pop up randomly in other pop culture things.
Well, and I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, in typical, you know, asshole Rick fashion, if, you know, this all isn't just a huge marketing ploy and, you know.
Yeah, they brought back
Slash. I'm now renewed song. Pickle Rick.
Yeah. Or they were going to get a freaking Rick and Morty movie. I mean, it would work as a freaking thing. Netflix needs to take it over because, you know, there's nothing like binge watching something and you get Rick and Morty, that season drop that should be watched in one day.
It was definitely binge worthy. All right, so we're going to move on to some serious matters now. We've talked about the generations and what they won't be experiencing and, you know, references they'll never get. Well, it looks like they will no longer be Toys R Us kids. Damn shame.
I'm going to pour a little liquor out for my dead homies.
Yeah, so it looks like, you know, after 70 years, Toys R Us is officially, you know, closing, locking up, and... I guess now everybody just searches and figures out, you know, which locations having liquidation sales on what dates and stock up while you can.
Yeah.
There's
one right by my office and you go by there and see what kind of shit they got on sale.
So, yeah, I don't really know. I mean, no investors or anything have come forth. I mean, they're, I think, close to $5 billion in debt. And yeah, I don't know, you know, I mean, with the Amazons and I mean, I've heard people, you know, talk about, well, it's the Walmarts and the Targets. And I'm like, I don't really consider Walmart and Target like a toy capita thing. Like, I feel like the internet was probably Toys R Us demise.
Yeah, because, I mean, kids are playing with video games and stuff now. And you know, people like us who are buying toys, we're buying stupid expensive like collector stuff, like, you know, what the hell's the really high end like anime models,
like the Gundam, you know.
Yeah, those type stuff, you know, stuff you find in like comic book stores and whatnot. So yeah, I can't remember the last time I went into an actual Toys R Us.
I remember a few years ago, I was like, hey, I want to pick up a yo-yo, something to kill some time. I used to, you know, dabble a little bit back in high school, and I was like, you can't go to Walmart and Target and buy yo-yos. All right, that just doesn't happen anymore. So I was like, well, who sells yo-yos? And I was like, it's Toys R Us. Okay, well, there we go. So, you know, I went and bought a couple of, you know, expert-level yo-yos to get back in the game and stuff. And, I mean, now, you know, my only other option is I'm going to have to just order online and wait a couple of days, I guess. Like, I'm kind of seeing, you know, a trend with hobby shops and everything else kind of going that way. I mean, you know, stuff.
I did see that an old Toys R Us competitor is trying to make a comeback now, though. KB Toys is kind of announcing expansions and stuff, and they're like, you know, if you used to work for Toys R Us and you need a job, we're going to be hiring. So,
but I mean, you know, which did KB Toys exist outside of like malls?
I've only seen them in malls and like freaking out the mall places. I've never seen like a big Walmart size standalone KB Toys.
Because I'm with you, you know. I mean, I definitely remember KB Toys as a kid, but, you know, they always had very limited retail space. It was never like, you know, the full
supermarket.
Well,
there's going to be a lot of empty toy stores now, so the real estate is there if they're wanting to expand their operations.
I suppose so. I don't know. Well, you know, switching gears, we'll talk about some video games, right? This whole episode was based around such things. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is getting a new update in April that will restore microtransactions. Yay!
Yeah,
but guess what?
Never bothered to
guess what?
What?
The best part, they're cosmetic only. So, you know, remember the CEO coming out and saying, well, we can't have a pink Darth Vader, you know, that'll just go against the canon. Well, they figured out that, hey, we fucked ourselves in every other way, so this is probably the only way that we're going to, you know, be able to milk this pot. And dumbass people, of course, will continue throwing money at it because it's what they do, and yeah.
It's one thing if it's like stuff that has no effect on gameplay, where it's like,
well,
hey,
that's what they're going.
I want a chrome-plated Glock. Cool, I'll pay an extra dollar or two for that. But it's the motherfuckers that, like, you know, pay their way to prestige levels and stuff like that that annoy the piss out of me.
And that's where, you know, this started from. And now, you know, because they've basically fucked themselves, you know, now it's going to be, well, we're going to go against that thing that we said we could never do because it's not canon. So, you know, eh.
It's Disney. What does canon matter anymore?
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't end an episode on a negative note, so we'll end this on something positive.
I'm positive it's going to suck.
Nah. It's positive. You'll love it. You'll learn it. You can now learn Klingon for free online. So, you know, if you're interested in learning, you can actually download the, you know, app, you know, Duolingo, or you can go to their website. It's free. Sit there and invest, you know, 5-10 minutes a day. You too can become fluent in Klingon.
And then you can pick up girls at the Klingon singles party at DragonCon.
There you, I mean, Duolingo is actually hosting a meetup in Chicago on March 22nd. So
oh, there you go. I mean, can I get a you know, Mandalorian class? I'd like to learn to speak Mando.
Can you?
Like, so they
probably.
Need,
they do you need to be creator of said class? Probably.
Let's do this.
But you can do it, brother.
God.
All right. Any other news, tidbits of information now that I've babbled for, oh my God, almost 20 minutes?
Well, with that, You can find us on the ESO Podcast Network at esopodcast.com. We're on our website at cigarnerdpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Cigar Nerd Pod. We have a Zazzle store. There's links on our website so you can buy some Cigar Nerd shirts. Also, go to realmensmokecigars.com. Get your Cigar Nerd smoking shirts. Go to strikeforceenergy.com. Use your promo code Cigar Nerds for 20% off your order. And Jumanji!
And with that, just to recap real quickly about this beer, as it comes up to temperature, it just remains hoppy. Jumanji!
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.